I would like to invite you to turn your Bibles to today's Old Testament reading and focus passage, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 1 through 10. Once again, feel free to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 1 through 10. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke down the pillars, hewed down the sacred poles, and pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh until they had destroyed them all. Then all the people of Israel returned to their cities, all to their individual properties. Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, everyone according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord and to give thanks and praise. The contribution of the king from his own possessions was for the burnt offerings of morning and evening, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the appointed festivals, as it is written in the law of the Lord. He commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, so that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the word spread, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and all of the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of cattle and sheep and the tithe of the dedicated things that had been consecrated to the Lord their God and laid them in heaps. In the third month, they began to pile up the heaps and finish them in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the officials came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites about the heaps. The chief priest Azariah, who was one of the house of Zadok, answered him, "Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty to spare. For the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this great supply left over." A few years ago, Leadership Magazine carried a story about four young men who were in Bible college together. They were renting a room. And on Saturday morning, an older man started coming by their door offering to sell vegetables. Now, this wasn't just any man. He came by. His eyes were a little glazed over. His clothes were tattered. He had two shoes on, but they were two shoes of the same foot, so he clearly couldn't afford a new pair of shoes. He came by every Saturday looking to sell vegetables. And so the young men who lived there, when he arrived, as they got to know him a little better, they began to buy some of the vegetables just to help him out, knowing that he probably could use the money. It was apparent from his appearance and from his time at the door that he could use some extra cash. And so, though no four boys intend to eat vegetables while they're in college, they thought they would help him out. They got to know him a little better and began inviting him in to visit for a while before he would continue on in his rounds. So they soon discovered that he had cataracts. They learned that he lived just down the street in an old run-down house that they had passed by many times but assumed no one was living there. They found out he could play the harmonica and that he loved to play Christian hymns and that he loved God, and so they were able to sing and as he played the harmonica together. Every Saturday morning, they would begin to invite him in. They'd sing together. They became good friends. The boys began to try to figure out ways that they could help. They said, "There's got to be something that we can do to help this man in his finances and in some of his needs beyond just simply buying some vegetables that he's growing in his backyard." So one day they decided to give him a box of things he might need, things that they noticed that he might need to wear. They got him a new pair of shoes, some winter clothes, some other items that might be useful for him, and they dropped him off on the man's porch. They didn't stop to tell him, they just dropped it off. They didn't want him to know that it was from them. So they just dropped off this box of clothing and other essential items that this man, they guessed, might be without. Well, in a couple of days later, the man came to their door with his vegetables as always, but he came very refreshed, very excited. And he came saying, God is so good. And they all agreed, yes, God is so good. He went on, do you know why God is so good? And of course, the four young men knew the answer, but they wanted to hear anyway. They said, why is God so good? And he said, because a couple of days ago, when I got up and opened my door, there was a box full of clothes and shoes and coats and gloves. Yes, God is so good. The boy said, yes, God is so good. And the man went on to say, but do you know why he's so good? And they answered, yes, we think so. And he said, because I found a family who could use those things, and I gave them all away. Generosity is a commitment, isn't it? It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. Generosity isn't a reality that comes along when we sit down and check our bank account or check our finances and see and look to where we are in life and then determine if we can be generous. It's not simply giving of yourself when things are looking up or okay in the time being. Generosity is about taking on an attitude of abundant life, knowing that you have something to give. That you have something to give of yourself. Yes, the most obvious point may be finances or some sort of physical offering, but of course we know that there are many ways to give of yourself. Yes, you should give of your finances. You should be financially generous to those who need it, but you should also be generous with your relationships. You should be generous with the ways that you spend your time, the ways that you offer your creativity, the ways that you offer the gifts that God has given you. The passage that we read today is just a small glimpse into the thick of Old Testament history. We pick up with the reign of King Hezekiah, who by all accounts was a good king, a righteous king to the people of Israel. He saw Judah and the people in Jerusalem headed down a path which strayed from the law of the Lord, and he sought to reform them in their ways, to bring them back to God, to bring them back towards the law and the law that had been given to their ancestors. And one of the ways that Hezekiah sought to do that was to garner commitment and order and purpose in the religious life of the people, in the religious life of the town of the temple. And so he called on them to do several things. He called them to cleanse the temple, to institute a sin offering and atonement offerings, to create a worship service. Hezekiah believed that the starting point was faithfulness to God in the temple and in their religious way of life. Our scriptures hone in on Hezekiah calling for more offerings for the work of the temple. Now, I know what you may be thinking. You may be thinking, isn't this scripture about paying the priest or the pastor? Well, maybe. But I want you to take a more expansive look at this passage. This isn't just about paying clergy. In this time, the priests and the Levites, the priestly order, were in many ways the functioning of the temple. They were the movers and shakers. They were the ones who were able to keep the temple going in order to keep this religious life and reality going for the people. So it's not so much about paying the priest to live a good life. It's more about paying the priest to be able to operate the temple. And so our scripture hones in on Hezekiah calling for more offerings for the work of the temple to go towards the priests and their work. And he calls on the people to destroy all idols across the land, both practical and symbolic idols. He calls for all people to give, no exceptions, towards the work of the temple. And even a righteous man such as Hezekiah, towards the end of the passage, almost seems surprised at what God's people could do together when they are committed to being generous with their resources. And Hezekiah is almost surprised at the leftovers and abundance that the people would then use in order to further the work of the temple. It reminds us that the work of God requires sacrifice, and it requires all of us, to give. For the current time, for what we're doing now, for the work of the kingdom, but also for the work that will continue down the road. People brought enough to the temple to look ahead and know that God would continue to work in the days ahead. And so generosity didn't have a here and now perspective. It also had a forward-thinking perspective. A forward-thinking perspective of what God could do with these resources down the road. Not just now, but think about what God has in store for the future when we share of our resources. When we consider Jesus' words, we get a more full picture of what God expects. We are to give sacrificially, and of course, based on Jesus' example, we are to give our all. We are to give the entirety of our lives, our resources, our bodies, our creativity, our intelligence, whatever it may be. We are to give it all to the work of God. Jesus draws a much more direct connection between our gifts and the work that God is doing. In the Old Testament, we read of tithes and offerings going to the temple and the clergy, and that would be worthwhile. But Jesus brings it down to an individual level, saying that when you give and when you are generous with your resources, the kingdom of God will be realized in this place and around the world. Our gifts are not a temple tax, so to say, in the legal sense. Our gifts, when you give of your finances or your resources or your time, for instance, to First Baptist Church, your gifts are the gospel. Your gifts are the good news to a hurting world that Jesus loves them. And so we have three very practical challenges today. First of which we talked about last week, the importance of tearing down the competition, tearing down the idols in our life that may seem to steal our resources away from God's work. Now, idol may seem like a bit too strong of a word for you. You might say, Jeremy, I'm a monotheist. You don't have to worry about it. Idol takes on a much greater meaning in the Bible. Yes, sometimes, of course, there were those who may have worshipped other gods or other gods they believe existed. But idolatry is that which steals our attention from God. It's that which garners our faith away from God. It's that which pulls resources from us, which doesn't belong to God, and it throws our entire life out of sorts because we're putting our faith and trust in something else other than God. And so, of course, we idolize sports teams. We idolize movies and music and celebrities. We idolize certain ways of life, and we idolize our wealth. There are many things that we choose to put our faith in, but God says, tear down those idols. Hezekiah and the people of the kingdom went out and tore those down quite literally. Idols that were left over from a previous time, Hezekiah sought to reform and said, these have no place here if we are going to give our entire devotion to God and to the work of the temple. So he said, literally, go tear them down. He said, literally, go tear them down. Tear down these solid physical idols. But of course, he was also speaking subtly, saying, tear down the idols in your heart and in your mind that you give your attention to. We also have to acknowledge and accept that each of us has something to give. Once again, something we've talked about in the past couple of weeks. Rich, poor, no matter where you live, you have something to give. There was once a pastor who was speaking to his congregation. They were dealing with some debt, struggling with some debt and how to pay it off. And the pastor says, folks, I have some good news. We have enough to retire this debt. The issue that stands before us today is that this money is in your pockets, or it's in your bank account behind your debit card, whatever it may be. We have something to give. We have something else to give. We may not have a lot to give monetarily. We may not have a huge sum of money to give, and that's probably true of most of us, by the way, but we have something else to give. For instance, what if you ate out 5 times less this month? What if the snack that you order from McDonald's every day on the way home, what if you passed that up for a month? What if instead of seeing a movie, you waited for the $2 rental and gave that movie cost to the church? What if instead of stopping at yard sales to buy more knickknacks, you decided to give towards an upcoming offering such as the CBF offering for global missions or Lottie Moon is Christmas, right? Okay. 50-50 shot, I got it. What if you chose to pass on these large idols, but what about these little idols that steal your faith and your attention and your resources over time? Maybe in one day it doesn't seem like a huge deal, but over time they become your idol. And what if you just didn't give, but what if you gave towards abundance? What if you gave with the future of the church in mind? Not with what we're just doing right now, not with just what we see on the budget and finance report every month, but what about what's going on down the road? I was recently at a church financial seminar and donor seminar, and we learned, it was talked about time and time again, that people are much more motivated to give towards something exciting, a vision for the future, something life-changing. People don't get as excited about paying the bills or retiring the debt. That's not enough. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Budget and finance team, treasurer, I didn't just tell people not to give towards that. Please don't think that. We need to give towards those things, but we also need to become excited about what God is going to do through the ministry and mission of this church now and down the road. And the only way that we can do that is if we give sacrificially, yes, of our finances and our resources, but also of our time and our efforts and our energy. And so this discussion of generosity, we almost need to have a little shift, not so much a talk about money or what's in our pockets, but we need to talk about our attitudes. We need to talk about our personalities. We need to talk about what we're doing here in the life of this church. We need to talk about what's coming down the pipe, what God is calling us to do in Black Mountain and in the days ahead. You remember the man at the beginning of the sermon, the man who probably could have used those items that were on his porch, but instead decided to give those to someone else who needed them. That was exciting for him. He said, God is so good. Of course, the young men in the house thought, of course, he's celebrating that he has some more stuff. But he was excited because someone else was able to experience the love of God. Is that our attitude, First Baptist Church? Do we become more excited about the resources we can use within these walls and amongst each other? Or do we become more excited about the ways that people outside these walls will know about Jesus because we are generous with our resources? I think many churches struggle with that. It's not a First Baptist problem. It's something Christians struggle with. It's something the church struggles with. We struggle with asking the question, what are our resources for? What is the purpose of the resources that are present in this congregation? It's something we always need to be reflecting on and praying about. I'd like to leave you with a quote that I gave in the Builder this week. If you read it, you'll have heard it, but I think it bears repeating. And by the way, it's not a Jeremy Schulte original. I heard this on a podcast. I think it was with Tom Rainer, CEO for Lifeway, in his leadership podcast. He posed a very important question to churches, and boy, has it stuck with me the past week. The question is, do you believe the community is here for your church? Or do you believe that your church is here for the community? Folks, is Black Mountain potential members of First Baptist Church, are they here for us so that we can keep paying our bills and keep this thing going? Or are we here to be generous and to share the love of Christ with those outside these walls, regardless of what may happen to us? We have a great purpose here. We have a great purpose that God has called us to as First Baptist Church of Black Mountain. And in order to be generous, we need to think less of ourselves and more of others who are in need. Like the old haggard man at the beginning of this story, we could acknowledge that we have needs, of course, but we should first be thinking of that family across town or that friend across town who needs something from us. Who needs food, who needs clothing, who needs counseling, who needs shelter, who needs the love of Christ. Let's go from here this week thinking in terms of generosity, not just about what it means for us inside the walls of First Baptist Church, but what it means for those outside these walls who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ and to feel the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we realize today that generosity is truly a commitment. It's not a reaction to current circumstances. It's about a lifestyle orientation towards giving of ourselves and our resources towards you. Lord, we thank you for this scripture, for the word of God, and how it teaches us today that everyone must give towards the work of the kingdom. And so we take that challenge seriously today. We acknowledge that there is growth to be had in this area, both as individuals in this congregation and also as a whole. Lord, continue to teach us in this month of Thanksgiving what it truly means to be generous and to offer ourselves as the body of Christ to those who are hurting, those who are scared, those who are fearful, those who need to feel your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.